Okay, hello everyone. So we have a lot to do because next week we don't have a class and I prepared, I guess, sources for 2 or 3 weeks. But we can do whatever we can do.
So you won't be here next week?
No. Okay. So. No. So we are going to talk about Yosef. Yosef and Leila Seder. And we'll see that there is a lot that connects Yosef and Leila Seder, which we don't really, I think, which I think I know how to push a button, but thank you. And we will see something which I think we don't think about, because we always think about why Moshe is not mentioned in the Agadah, in Leila Seder, and we forget Yosef, but I think Yosef has obviously a lot to do with the Leila Seder, so let's see. So the Gemara in Pesachim, in Daf Samechei Amud Bet, says the following. Tanya, Tana, kol echad ve'echad noten pischo be'oro u'mafshilo le'achorav. So the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samechei says that they will bring the Paschal lamb, and each one of them will basically take it in a way that they will basically take out the skin, and they will bring it with them like almost on their shoulders. Amar Rav Eilish, so Rav Eilish says, tayo. What is tayot? So Rashi says, tayot derech socharim ishmaelim hu ze. Which means, the way that they carry the Paschal lamb, the Korban Pesach, the way they carried it home, after they brought it into the Beit HaMikdash to slaughter it, to shochet it, so they took it home. The way they took it home, it was like socharim ishmaelim. Now that sounds very familiar, right? Who are the socharim ishmaelim? The one who took Yosef from the pope, from the bowl. Now, that itself is very interesting. Why, like, A, why do we care? Think about it. Would you be able to sleep tonight if you would not know how exactly the Jews would carry their Paschal lamb from the Beit HaMikdash back home? I will. Believe me. I have other things to be worried about. This is not one of them. And the Gemara goes out of its way to explain to me something that it's totally unnecessary, and we will see that Reb Shlomo Kluger is asking the same question in a minute. So really, but the association is obviously with Bereshit, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Kaf Chet. Vayavu anashim midyanim socharim. Midianite group came along, vayalu et Yosef min habor, and they basically carried Yosef from the pit, vayimkeru et Yosef leishmaelim be'esrim kasef. So they sold Yosef or esrim kasef to the Ishmaelim, and the Ishmaelim sold Yosef to Potiphar. So, says Reb Shlomo Kluger, מה שאמרו חז"ל בסוף פרק ה' דפסחים, תנא כל אחד ואחד נותן פסחו באורו ומפשיל לאחוריו, אמר רב אייל שטיות, ופרש רש"י דרך סוחרים ישמעאלים הוא זה. והנה מעולם היה תמיה לי, דמה כמשמען רב אייליש בזה, ולעניין מה קבעו חז"ל דבר זה בש"ס. So רב שלמה קלוגר, as you can understand, by the way, the name, he was a very smart person. And he was a very talented scholar. And he basically says, Me'olam, I don't know for how many years, he says, I was wondering about this statement. Why would the Gemara think that this is so important to describe to me what? How exactly the Jews took their Paschal lamb back home? V'gum guf b'raita hazeh nira'u lemutar. D'man afkamina lanu. Also, he says, if you think about the Gemara discusses things that have a nafkamina, which means have some kind of application to my life. What is the application to my life today? Zero, right? So why do I need to discuss it? So therefore, he says the following. אך להבין דברי חכמים וחידותם, נראה לי דהנה בטעם שיעבוד מצרים, הרבה טעמים נאמרו בזה, מאיכן נמשך שיעבוד מצרים. Meaning, one of the questions that are discussed is obviously, what is the reason for the slavery in Mitzrayim? Why do we have to go through that? And he says, V'da'at kama, and he says the opinion of some rabbis is, De'havi de'baon mechirat Yosef hu ken. He says, the reason for Shi'abud Mitzrayim, for the slavery in Egypt, is because of what?
Selling
of Yosef. Ve'ine, בכל ענייני פסח נעשה רמז על הגאולה ועל השיעבוד. אך לא נעשה רמז מאיזה עניין נמשך השיעבוד. It says, if you look at Leila Seder, there are so many different things that we do in order to hint about the geula and the shiabud. We eat maror for the avdut. We eat matzah for the geula. We eat charoset for the avdut, right? Because of the teeth, the cement, okay? And we say l'shana ba'a be'arad Yisrael for the geula. אך לא נעשה רמז מאיזה עניין השיעבוד. But there is nothing in Leila Seder that tried to indicate what's the reason for the slavery. And therefore, ולכך עשו רמז בזה דאבי כאין מחירת יוסף. דהנה שם כתוב ועשו עיניהם ויראו והנה ישמעאלים באים. ולכך עשו רמז בזה כמו שעשו בפסח כדרך הישמעאלים סוחרים, להזכיר עניין מחירת יוסף. And he says, this is why the Talmud talked about how the Jews took the Paschal lamb back home from the Beit HaMikdash in order to teach us the reason for slavery. Because don't forget, you could bring the Paschal lamb when? After midday. But you need to eat it when? At night. Okay, so the reason for slavery, the reason for what you are about to do is what? Connects you back to Yosef. Now, you would think that this is okay, no, one thing. For make to make a shiur? The answer is yes. So, you will see that there are many things that we do during Leila Seder in order to remind us the reason for the slavery and to mention Yosef. So, let's start. מתחילו מברך בורא פרי האדמה ולוקח ירק ומטבל אותו בחרוסת. So you take a vegetable which has the bracha of בורא פרי האדמה, and then you dip it in charoset, ואוכל כזית, and then you eat כזית, a measure that you need to eat, הוא וכל המסובים ממו, he and all the people who eat with him, כל אחד ואחד אין אוכל פחות מכזית. So everyone needs to eat at least כזית. סז רבינו מנוח, כתב הרב, מתחיל ומברך בורא פרי האדמה ולוקח ירק. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. ואנו, סז רב מנוח, סז, נוהגים בקרפס. We all eat קרפס, right? Why? Why קרפס? זכר לקטונת הפסים. רגע. It's I forgot we speak in English. So we are using karpas. Why? To remind us of the ktonet hapasim, the dress that Yaakov gave to Yosef. The linen, whatever, the tunica, what is called it? The coat of many colors, right? שעשה יעקב לאבינו ליוסף, that Yaakov did to Yosef. אשר בסיבתה, that because of that, נתגלגל הדבר, things happened, וירדו אבותינו למצרים. So the first thing almost that we do on Leila Seder is we dip the vegetable in the charoset, which creates a lot of colors, in order to remind us about what? The colorful tunic, and this is the reason, not the colorful tunic, the animosity, the hate, the divisiveness. This is the reason of why we ended up where? In Mitzrayim. Rega, rega. We are not done yet. The Baal HaTurim on page 2 says the following about Ktonet Pasim, this colorful tunic. He says, Pasim begimatria lepas yado. So first and foremost, we need to know, many people think, like in the show, right, that it was very colorful tunic. According to Ibn Ezra and many others, pasim means pas yado, meaning only the cufflinks, like almost like a cuff. Okay, cuff. That's what you say. Okay, good. So only here there was something like very royal, but it was a regular dress. So it was not like a really colorful coat. Just the pas yad was something, I guess, distinguishable. Okay, that's one. Ve'asa lo ktonet pasim. So Yaakov did for Yosef ktonet pasim. Begimatria, the numerical of that, is mishkal shne sla'im milat. This is a measure of some kind of a value of some coins. Zehu she'amru b'gemara b'perekama de Shabbat. That's what it says in Shabbat, in Tractate Shabbat. Bishvil mishkal shne sla'im milat. שאוסיף יעקב ליוסף יותר משאר אחיו, because of two more dollars that Yaakov spent on Yosef's coat, נתגלגל הדבר וירדו אבותינו למצרים. So who do we blame now? Yaakov. Okay, we have someone to blame. Baruch Hashem. So the thing is that because what Yaakov did, which by the way, this is such a rookie mistake. And you would think he will get it after 11 children. No, really, I'm not. You think about it, this is like a no-no for every parent. Even when we don't discriminate, there is always one child who thinks what? That he is being discriminated, okay? You can do whatever you want, but there is always one child, mostly it's the sandwich one, right? The two or your third one, that always feel that they are discriminated. So why would you do that? Why would you do that? So there is a very interesting thing. Why? What did Yaakov think? But let's leave that alone, maybe for a different shiur. But what we see for sure is what? Now we see two associations, so two connections to Yosef. One is the way they carry the Paschal lamb back from the from the Beit HaMikdash to back home. And the second one is the Karpas. Okay? Now, Yerushalmi. The Jerusalem Talmud in Psachim says the following. Minayin le'arba kosot. How do we know that you need to drink four cups? So, you all know the answer, right? Four languages of Geula, we have five, and that's why we have Kos Shel Eliyahu, the fifth Kos that we don't drink, even though, by the way, there is a custom to do drink it. So, we don't practice that custom, but it used to be a custom in the Middle Ages. So, the thing is that we have four languages of Geula, right? Vo'otzeti ve'itzalti ve'ga'alti ve'lakachti. I'll save you, I'll protect you, whatever. Okay. The Yerushalmi brings a different reason. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was an Amora in Eretz Israel in the 3rd century, says, Keneged arba kosot shel paro. It corresponds with the four cups of paro. Four cups of paro, since when paro drank four cups. Shenizkeru bereshit. If you remember, Pharaoh's dream the Sarah Mashkim's dream, okay, the butler's dream was Kos Paro Biyadi, one, Vaeschat Otam El Kos Paro, I will squeeze the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, Vaeten Et HaKos Al Kaf Paro, third one, Beot Shloshet Em, and then Yosef says to him, Venatata Kos Paro Biyado, and you shall place the cup, the wine cup, back to Pharaoh's hand. Now, Ma Kesher. The butler dreamt whatever he dreamt about three times Pharaoh's cup. And the fourth one is Yosef's interpretation, but Ma Kesher.
Yosef.
Exactly. The Kesher is, the connection is, Yosef. This is how Yosef got out of the pit.
Wanted.
This is how, what? From the prison.
He wanted to. He wasn't successful.
Right, but later on, the butler had to admit, that what? I need to admit my sins, and I forgot someone who asked me not to forget him for 2 years, right? So the thing is that basically Yosef is coming back to the stage because of what? Of the kos. So this is why we drink four cups of wine on Pesach in order to remember Yosef's interpretation for the dream and how he was what? Back to his position. Okay. Now, skip the two Bereshit Shmot, go to Masechet Rosh Hashanah. So now, by now we have what? We have three. We have the way they carry the Paschal lamb, B is the dipping of the Karpas, and the third is the four cups. In Masechet Rosh Hashanah, in Daf Yud Aleph, it says like that, Berosh Hashanah yatsa Yosef mi Beit HaAsurim. If you ask yourself, what's the date of Yosef's liberation from prison was on Rosh Hashanah. How do we know? Menalan. Dichtiv, because it says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kesel liyom chageinu kichok liyisrael hu, which means what? Blow the shofar on that specific day. And then immediately, the pasuk after, it says what? Edut b'yehosef samo b'tzeto al eretz mitzrayim. On that day that you need to blow the shofar, which means Rosh Hashanah, that was the day that Yosef became what? A king over Mitzrayim. So that's Rosh Hashanah. What does it have anything to do with Pesach?
Where is that?
The what?
Where is this age of
Oh, Tehilim. That's Pasuk in Tehilim. Yeah, that's Pasuk in Tehilim. Edut b'Yosef samo b'tzatu ad eretz Mitzrayim sfat laodat tishma. We say it every Thursday. Bayom yom. Ayom yom chamishi. And then the Gemara says, Berosh Hashana batla avoda me'avoteinu b'Mitzrayim. On Rosh Hashanah, the slavery stopped. How do we know? K'tiv acha, because here, regarding the slavery in Mitzrayim, it says, Ve'otzeti etchem mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim, and I will take you out underneath the afflictions of Mitzrayim. U'chtiv hatam, and regarding Yosef, it says what? Ve'hasiroti misevel shichmo. Do you see the word sevel? Sevel means suffering. So, you see, Sivlot. Sivlot, which means suffering. That's Sivlot. And Sevel. Sevel, regarding Yosef, means what also? Sivlot is just plural of Sevel. Okay, so it's suffering, not sufferings, suffering, okay? So basically, what does the Gemara try to do? Is to compare what? The suffering that Yosef had with the sufferings that the Jewish people had, and the same day that that suffering came to an end, which was Rosh Hashanah for Yosef, that was the time for the shofar, but also the time for the enslavement to stop, which means half a year before the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were basically what?
Free
of slavery. Which is interesting. I don't know how many of you knew that. Now, are we sure about it?
No.
That's the Midrash that the Gemara brings. But we can understand what? Yet another understanding of connection between Yosef and the people. But here, by the way, this example, it's much stronger than all the others. Why? Because basically it says that what? That Yosef represents what? The entire Jewish people. It happened to Yosef as an individual, and because of that, it happened to the entire Jewish people that their slavery ended on the same day that it ended for Yosef. Okay, let's continue. In Bereshit Perek Nun, Pasuk Afei, it says, Vayashva Yosef et bnei Yisrael le'emor. So before Yosef died, he basically called his brothers and he asked them to take an oath to do what? Le'emor pakod yifkod elokim etchem ve'alitem et atzmotayim mizeh. Hashem shall surely what? Will think about you, will redeem you, and you will need to take my bones with you. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says the following. Pakod yifkod, what does it mean pakod yifkod? He shall surely redeem you, or will remember you, will think about you. Shtei milim ele, these two words, hayu lenekudot haor, they became like the light. Sheshamru al tikvat Israel b'meshech meot bashanim lashachar hamemashmesh uva. Yosef told the Jewish people, told his brothers, when he died, that they are going to be enslaved, and there is going to be a time that Hashem pakod ifkod. You remember the word pakod ifkod. What is lifkod? To remember, to care, to give a position, tafkid. Okay? What?
Appoint.
To appoint. Very good. That's the word I was looking for. To appoint someone for something, for a mission, right? Now, Yosef died. How many years went from Yosef's death until the liberation from Mitzrayim? Until the redemption. 210 years or 400 years, it depends on the calculations. But let's say at least 200 years. For 200 years, the Jewish people remember this code of Pakod Ifkod. How do I know that? Take a look. In Shmot Perek Gimel, Hashem says to Moshe, Lech v'asavta et ziknei Yisrael, go and gather the elders, v'amarta alehem, and you shall tell them, Hashem Elokei avotechem nira elai, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov le'emor, Hashem, our God, the God of Avraham, Isaac, and Jacob, told me, Pakod pakadti etchem. Same language. Now, turn to page 3. ויאמר יוסף אל אחיו, אנוכי מת ואלוהים פקוד יפקוד אתכם. אמר להם, סימן זה יהם אסור לכם. כל מי שיבוא להוציא אתכם ממצרים, אם יאמר לכם בלשון הזה, האמינו לו? וכן הוא אומר, פקוד פקדתי אתכם ותעשו לכם במצרים. Basically, Yosef gave his brothers, and they gave it to their descendants. He basically gives them a code. If the person who comes to take you out of Mitzrayim will use that code, pakod pakadati, or pakod ifkod, believe him. If not, he's a liar.
So it's also part of the word pakod.
Pakod is the code.
Pakod is the code. Nachon, nachon, nachon meod. Pakod is the code, which means Yosef is not only one of the reasons for the slavery, because of what happened with him, but he is the key for what? For redemption. So this is the fifth connection now that we have between Yosef and Leil HaSeder and the Geula. Now, look at Shemot Rabba. V'chamushim alu bnei Yisrael. So we know that V'chamushim alu bnei Yisrael merat Mitzrayim. What does it mean, chamushim? So one of the most famous one is only one fifth, like chomesh, only 20%, but there are other opinions. For example, she'alu mezuyanim, which means they went from Mitzrayim armed with weapons. Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo. Remember, Moshe is the one to take Yosef's bones with him. So the pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs, says the following. Chacham levav yikach mitzvot. Someone who is wise, that his heart is wise, he is going to collect mitzvot. Why? Shekol Yisrael ayu asukim bekesef vezahav. Obviously, the Jewish people were engaged and immersed themselves in what? In collecting silver and coins and all of that. Umoshe haya asuk beatzmot Yosef. Sheneemar vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo. And Moshe was busy doing what? Trying to find out where is Moshe's, Yosef's casket is. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, Alecha nitkayem chacham lev ikach mitzvot. The pasuk is being fulfilled with you, that you are a chacham lev, you are a wise person in your heart, and you are picking mitzvot. Yosef haya chayav leaviv lekovro, מפני שהוא בנו, ואתה לא בנו ולא בן בנו, ולא היית חייב לעסוק בו וקברת אותו. So Hashem says to Moshe, you are really did something incredible. Yosef had to bury his father. Why? Because he took an oath. Not only that his son is also Nishbalo. He took an oath to bury him. But you, Moshe, you owe nothing to Yosef, right? You are not his son, you are not his descendant, and I will add something. Your great, great, great father, Levi, really didn't like Yosef. He and Shimon were the ones who conspired to kill him. So basically, Moshe had zero, quote-unquote, obligation from a family perspective to bury Yosef, to take Yosef. Vekavarta oto, but you did. You took his bones. By the way, he didn't bury him, he just took his bones. The Jewish people buried him later on because Moshe didn't go into the land of Israel. וכן אני, שאיני חייב לבריאה, אני מטפל בך, ואקבורך, שנאמר, ואקבור אותו בגיא. So Hashem says to Moshe, because of what you did to Yosef, I'm going to do the same for you. Who buried Moshe? Hashem. Okay? So it's interesting. Yosef prepared the slavery, and prepare the redemption. Moshe was one to bring the redemption and to take Yosef and to bring him to burial place. And then who buries Moshe? Hashem himself. ומנין היה יודע משה איכן היה יוסף קבור? How exactly Moshe knew where Yosef is buried? יש אומרים סרח בת אשר הראה אותו. You remember סרח בת אשר? She is always around. She never dies. She's never born. She's everywhere and she's nowhere. She's like a ghost. Tiserach bat Asher. One time when I'll have some time, I might do a research on her and try to understand what's going on with this girl. But it's a very interesting thing. She was born Bachomot. You know, she was born like when they entered the Mitzrayim, but she was basically, her mom was pregnant while she was in Israel. It's a very interesting idea with Tzerach bat Asher. But she showed him where he is buried, and he was in denial. Ma'asa Moshe. So Moshe called Yosef and says, you know, it's time you come up. V'yesh omrim, betoch ha-platarin haya kavur, kederech sha-melachim kvurim. So, but some people say, no, he was buried in a cave like all the other Egyptian kings. V'asu Mitzrayim klavim shel zahav bekshafim. Shim yavo adam lesham yu novchim v'kolan olech b'chol eretz Mitzrayim ma'alach mem yom. The Egyptians created those dogs that will bark. It sounds like Indiana Jones, right? You know, that they will bark if someone will try to take Yosef's coffin from that cave, and everyone would hear it.
Is Platarim a cave or a palace?
The what?
Platarim? A cave or a palace?
Palaces. Yeah, Platarim is a palace, but it's like more of a, like the entry for a palace. So then he says, "Veshitkan Moshe," and Moshe silenced them. Sheneemar, "Lo yechal chol bnei Yisrael lo yecheratz kelev lashono." Itchil Moshe tzovach, Yosef, Yosef, igia hashaa sheamarta yifkod Elokim etchem. So Moshe is screaming, Yosef, wake up, it's time. It's time for the fulfillment of your prophecy of pakod yifkod, and I am the guy. I'm the person. You need to wake up, I need to take you. Miyad nitnadned Aaron. So the Aaron start shaking. Unetalo Moshe, and Moshe took it, sheneemar vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef. So Moshe took his bones. V'ayu atzmotav shel Yosef mechazrin imahem b'midbar 40 shana. So he took his bones for 40 years. They were wandering around in the desert. Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu, ata amarta le'achecha, anochi achalkel etchem, chayecha ata niftar, v'yu atzmotecha mechazrin imahem 40 shana. Now, there is something very interesting. You remember when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he says to them, what? Don't worry, Hashem sent me here for a reason. I am going to sustain you for all those years. And Hashem says to him, you are a bit arrogant, saying that you're going to sustain them. So now, for 40 years, you are going to what? Go around with them. Now, but there is something good, which is... שנאמר, ויהי אנשים אשר היו טמאים לנפש אדם, ואין אדם אלא יוסף, שנאמר, אוהל שיכן באדם. וימאס באוהל יוסף, בזכות עצמותיך הם עושים פסח קטן. This is an incredible midrash, and I'm doing zero justice to the midrash because I'm doing that fast. That midrash itself can go for an hour, but I will just highlight a few things. They carried these bones. Because they carried these bones, they were impure, because they were in touch with the dead body. You remember the story of Pesach Sheni? Mm-hmm. What is the entire idea of Pesach Sheni?
You get a second chance.
That you have a second chance. There is no any other mitzvah. If someone would come to me and says, Rabbi, I forgot to put tefillin on Sunday. Should I put them twice on Tuesday? I would look at him and say, no. I mean, you put them only once. There is no second. I didn't fast on Yom Kippur. Should I fast on Tu Bishvat? It doesn't work like that. The only mitzvah that you can do it again is Pesach. And why? Because that's the covenant. That's the connection to the Jewish people. That's the connection to the history. And this connection to our destiny. And it's all because of whom? Of Yosef. Which is unbelievable. That's the seventh connection, I think, that we came up with. The idea of what? Of Yosef and. With all the animosity that the people couldn't stand him, that his siblings couldn't stand him, for 40 years, now he's dead, I understand, but for 40 years, he's hanging around all the brothers, all the sisters, and he's allowing them to do what? To have a second chance. That's Yosef's story, in a way. He himself got a second chance, A, to rectify what he did, and also to rise to a position, and he gives his brothers a second chance. Look at the story with Binyamin. Binyamin was basically a test for what? For a second chance. Would you be willing to what? To sacrifice yourself for your sibling. Not to sacrifice your sibling for yourself.
Was Yehuda's second chance.
And that was Yehuda's second chest as well. Exactly. So, now.
This is only good to go into the Pshat that says that Pesach Sheni is because of Atzmaut Yosef.
Uh-huh.
There's also Pshat that says it's because of Nadav and Avihu, that those who have to take out the...
Right. But so the most, I think, prevalent opinion is that Atzmaut Yosef. Yeah. Ki Ashbea Ishbia et Bnei Israel, because he Ashbea Ishbia twice. Meaning he made them take an oath twice. Lama Shnei Pe'amim, why twice? But after the first time, we got it. Ela, hu nishba lahem she'ein belibo alehem, ve'em nishbaim lo she'ein belibam alav. He took an oath that he is not upset with them anymore. I didn't say he forgave them. In my opinion, and I think I said it in one of the drashot, I don't think Yosef ever forgave his siblings. He was not angry anymore. He made sense in his own mind for this entire thing. He was sent here. He had to sustain them. He had to prepare Egypt for them. I don't think he could forgive them. And why? Because he was not phony. You can't forgive for something like that. You can go on. You can have nice relationships. You put them in Goshen and you lived in Cairo, so you don't see them really only for Thanksgiving. Right? So the idea is that basically, I'm not sure Yosef was able to forgive them. By the way, this is also, this is my theory. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but when Yaakov dies, he calls Yosef to come. What? You didn't see your father for 22 years. You were so connected. And why don't you, you know, spend some time with family? Answer. So maybe Yosef just felt very committed to his job and everything. But also I think is that he didn't want to have too many conversations with his father because the question will come up, which is, how did you end up here? And Yosef will probably tell his father, how did you end up losing hope and not come to what? To search for me, to find me. So obviously there is a lot of... How do we know? So first, when he was sick, Yosef had to be told that your father is sick, which means he didn't see him. Uh-huh. A. B. When Yaakov saw Yosef's children, he says, who are they? Now, leave alone, there is a midrash that says, you know, that he saw that one of them has an idol worshiper and whatever. But the pshat is, he had no clue about his grandchildren from Yosef's part. So I think that there was not too much of a connection.
But therefore, also the brothers did not do tshuva because they also made up a story.
At the end,
they told Yosef that they spoke to the father.
Right. By the way, I don't think Yosef ever believed that story, because the only way that Yaakov would say something like that is that if Yosef will tell him what happened.
Right.
Now, because Yosef knew that he never said it,
right,
and he assumed that the brothers probably didn't confess their sin before Yaakov's death. So therefore, he knew that they made it up.
And that's why we suffered the Eskara, because we did not do Tshuva.
Exactly. So the entire Leila Seder now is about what? It's to bring the brothers and the sisters, now because we need to be politically correct, obviously, but brothers and sisters together. They met. This is the entire idea of Leila Seder, and now I think the lesson, especially after October 7th, is so powerful. It's not about, you know, the size of the maror is very important. The size of the matzah is very important. All the mitzvot and the halachot are very important. But the idea behind Geulat Mitzrayim is the ability to what? To come together. And you have a variety of people around your table. You have a chacham, you have a rasha, you have a tipesh. I didn't say that. Stam. According to the Yerushalmi, there is Chacham, Tipesh, Tam, Vesheino de Adishon. Four. The Rasha is out.
No Rasha.
No, there is a Tipesh. Now, you know what? Okay, you know what? I'll give you 2 minutes. I thought about giving, I can make a Shabbat Agadol drasha out of it, but I'll give you one thing.
Yerushalmi uses the word Tipesh.
Yes, Tipesh. So there are three sources for it. Three sources for the four children. Now, think about it. There is always, when you look at the list of the four, there is someone who is odd. If you take the Chacham, okay, Chacham is wise, right? Tam is simple. I mean, intellectually, he's not that bright. What is Sheino Yodah Lishol? But what about his cognitive abilities?
Can
be good, can be maybe developed, right? So it's all about cognitive abilities, right? Chacham, tam, v'sheino yodeh lishol. The Rasha is lo kashur. Rasha is evil. It's not, okay. Now, if you take Rasha, tam, and you put them together, that sounds good. Rasha is the evil guy. The tam is tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Right? Chacham does not mean tzaddik. Chacham means what? Intellectually stimulated, smart. That's it. So basically, the way you try to create, a common denominator, there is a bit of a problem. Therefore, Yerushalmi, if I'm not mistaken, or the Mechilta, one of them, I saw that many years ago, put Chacham versus Tipesh. Makes sense. Chacham is smart, Tipesh is nuts. That's smart. Okay? And then the third guy is the Tam. So we can have different combinations. Now, there's something very interesting too. When you take Chacham, Rasha, and Tam, the Tam you can split to two. The Tmimut Shebo, not the naivete, his Tamim Tiyeim Hashem Elokecha, his piety is against the Rasha. But his stupidity is against the Chacham. So, now, I'm not telling you now to try to admire the Rasha. But I will tell you, listen to what he has to say. This is very interesting. He is involved. And not only that, according to the Yerushalmi, when he brings the Rasha, he says, "Ma torach ze she'atem matrichim aleinu bechol shana v'shana," which means every year he comes to the Seder. Every year he comes to the Beit HaMikdash and he sees the thing. He's not outside. He comes. But every year he says to them, "Guys, what are you doing? Every year you drive me crazy with all these things that I need to do, with all this burden. What's the reason for that? Give me a reason." Which means, at least, he does not show apathy. He's not an apathetic, whatever, guy. Okay? He's someone who is involved. He just wants to know. So, to some extent, the problem is not so much with him. It might be with us. We maybe don't really give a reason. In my opinion, the guy who doesn't know how to ask, he is probably the same level with the Rasha. Because to show zero interest, that's not good. So, whatever. We're not giving a shiur now about the four banim. Okay, move on. It was your fault.
That's good.
Okay, so... So he took an oath that he's not upset with them, and they took an oath that they are obviously not upset with him. Ve'alitem et atzmutai mizeh itchem. Amar Rabbi Levi, mashal lema hadavar domeh. So there is a parable for what? Le'adam shechnis yino b'martef. Nechnesu haganavim v'natlu achaviyot v'alchu lehem v'shatu oto. So it's a parable for what? For a person who put all his wine barrels into a little martef, and thieves came, took the barrels out, and they drank the wine. Baba alayayin umatza otam shegenvu achavit. So the owner of the winery came along and he saw that they stole the barrel. Amar lehem shtitem ayayin achziru achavit limkomo. You drank the wine? Okay, but you know what? Put the barrel in its place, please. Okay, don't leave it like that. What's the message? Kach mishchem ganvu echav shel Yosef oto umachru oto. So they took Yosef from Shechem and they sold him. Ukshebah lipater min haolam, and when he was about to die, Eshbiya otam, he asked them to take an oath to do what? Bevakasha mimkem echai mashachtem mishchem ganavtem oti chai achziru et atzmotai lishchem. You took me from Shechem, bring me back to Shechem. Now, I will tell you something about Shechem. We don't like Shechem. It's a bad city. But there was something else that happened in Shechem before Yosef. The story of Dina. The story of Dina. Now, in the story of Dina, there is also someone who is taken by force, Dina. But there, the brothers showed what? Tremendous unity. I mean, we can criticize what they did because they lied, and Yaakov definitely didn't like it. But the idea is that they showed that they are willing to risk themselves in order to what? To get Dina out. Which was an incredible thing. Unity among the brothers and willing to do things for someone else. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, Shechem was terrible. Yosef was sold. What else happened in Shechem in Tanakh? That's true, but later in Tanakh. I'll give you a hint. To give you a hint?
Yeah.
Okay. Generation after Shlomo. The kingdom split in Shechem between Yerovam and Rechavam. That was Shechem. Now, it's interesting. Because what is Shechem, which is almost like Shechem? A shoulder. What does the shoulder do? They support and they connect. The idea of Shechem, and the Zohar has something interesting about it, is the idea of connection. However, you need to go through some kind of a process in order to re-give this meaning to Shechem, which is by itself is a very interesting thing. Okay, so again, what do we have with Yosef and Leah Seder is the idea of what? Of almost full circle, of bringing everyone together. Nachon, no, that's for Shechem echad al achecha. Asher lakachti becharbi uvekashti. What is charbi uvekashti? So the Targum says betzloti uvebebauti, which means with my prayers and my beseeching God. But the fact is betzloti uvebauti, which means with my sword and my weapons. Okay. So the Ramban says, and this is beautiful, the last source on page 3. What does it mean when Hashem says to, when Moshe says to Yosef, when Yaakov says to Yosef, Ani natati lecha shechem echad alachecha, I'm giving you shechem echad alachecha. Ramban says, Hu chelek ha-bechora. Yosef was considered as what is a bechor, so he got a double portion. Liotcha bo yater alachecha, so you will have a double portion all over your siblings. Miyom shelakacht yuto miyad ha-emori becharbi ubekashti. Now we are going to do something interesting that, like that. We're not going to read all the Hebrew, because there is a lot of Hebrew here. So, what I'm going to do is... Yosef. Everyone can... Mostly you can... Okay, good. Yosef is... I don't know how you... Bechor, firstborn. Is he?
No.
Yes.
To Rachel.
And also, if the plan was as it was in the original, Rachel will be the first wife and Yosef will be the first son. Now, and he got a nachala of a bechor, right? Okay. Yosef, who else is considered as a bechor? Now, leave him. He's a tragedy. I gave a class about him once. Bni bechori Israel. No, Yudah is not a bechor. Israel is a bechor. Bni bechori Israel. So, we have Yosef is a bechor, and also Am Israel is a bechor. I don't like to call it Jewish nation. It's Yehudi. We are Israelim. Not only Israelim. Am Israel is the highest step. Okay? So we have Bechor, Bechor. Okay. Then, we know that when Yosef heard that, when Yosef revealed himself to, what I'm saying is the Pachad Yitzchak of Yitzchak Kutner. When Yosef heard that Yaakov is coming to Mitzrayim, what did he do? You remember? Vayesor Yosef Merkavto. Yosef basically got his chariot. Okay? Ready. letters are what? Resh, Kaf, Bet. Rechev, right? Switch it to Bechor. Okay? Now, one second. So we have Merkava, the chariot, also has the idea of what? Of Bechor. Who else got his chariot ready for something bad?
Paro.
When Paro chased the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, to Yamsuf, it says, Vayesor Paro Merkavto. Now, Paro will need to do it by himself. He's the king. The idea is that he was so hateful that he did it by himself. He didn't want to wait for his servants. Okay? Now, one more.
The same object in a different order.
Okay. So what's going on here?
Bechor.
Everything is in the Bechor. Bechor, Merkava, and Bracha. So, where does the Bracha come from? One second. We'll get there. So, the idea that the Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner wants to claim in 1, 2, 3, 4 pages, okay, he basically says the following. He says, the Zohar states that the Avot, Hem HaMerkava, that our ancestors, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they are basically are the wheels of the Merkava, of the chariot, the divine chariot. What does that mean? Let's bring it down to earth. That's what we want, because we want to understand it. Hashem reveals himself to us as a king here. We all know, Lehavdil Elef Alfei Havdalot, King Charles, right? He's in a Rolls Royce, whatever he is, or he's in a chariot, okay? But someone needs to what? To carry him. Who are the ones to carry him? Is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But there are only what? Three wheels. You need to have the fourth one. We are the fourth one. We, Am Yisrael, through us, we are the ones to bring God to this world. Okay? So we have a Merkava. We are the wheels of the Merkava. However, when you travel, even if you travel business class, you feel the shmate. After you traveled a lot, after you travel for this journey from the Jewish people, you travel a lot and you feel the shmate. One of the first blessings that Hashem gave to Avraham after Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, U'mimoladetcha, U'mibeit Avicha, El Ha'aretz Asher Ar'eka, right, you shall go and wander around and you go on your journey. What's the bracha that Hashem gives to Avraham? Va'avarcha mevarachecha u'mekalelcha ha'or. And part of this blessing is what? That he will not be affected by tiltul haderech. He will not be affected by what? By wandering around. He will stay fresh. Okay? So the idea is, the Merkava can cause you what? To be tired from the way, and you get a bracha. Now, also, I don't know if you ask yourself ever, why bracha is a blessing? Because that's a translation, I understand. But what does it mean? Ten li bracha. I mean, Yaakov and Esav are fighting for a bracha. How does it work? Here in Israel, we have Birkat Kohanim every day. Oh, Hashem, we have a lot of Kohanim. How does it work? You give bracha to your children. How does it work?
You're the vehicle. You're the shaliach for the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. But how does it work?
You say something.
You say something, and how it's connected?
Well, by saying it, it has an impact.
Okay. I will just add a little bit.
But somebody has to hear it.
Someone needs to hear it. Someone needs to be ready for it, right? You need to connect. Now, that's the beauty of Hebrew. Berech. What is a berech?
Knee.
We all... will not say it. Knees are the part of the body that connects what? The legs. That allow you to what? To do the lech lecha. To walk. So the idea is, we all know if you have a bad knee, it's a problem. So the idea is the bracha has come from the word berech. It's basically to connect. You said to listen. You need to bow down a little bit. That's what we do in the Siyat Kapayim, Tefilat Kohanim. We do that a little bit. When you give a bracha to your children, they lower their head a bit. They don't stand straight. So the thing is what? That in order for the Merkava to work, you need to definitely have what? A berech. You need to have a bracha. And if you have both, you get what? To become a bechor. Yes?
Is it also related to bricha? Like you also...
That's with chet.
See, a little Hebrew is a danger. Rabbi Hirsch would probably discuss.
Probably, somehow. That's true, but this is a...
So funny.
But what was the idea behind it?
Oh, the idea was to be a receptacle, not just a connector, but to be able to receive.
Okay.
To hold on with the bracha.
Okay.
Oh, it's a beautiful
thing. Okay. Now, one more thing. There is in Hebrew, and this is the beauty again in Hebrew. How do you call that thing? Now it's show and tell. Okay? Now, I was never good in painting. So I will try. Now it's a minute of Hebrew. Okay, how do you do that? I think you do that. Okay. Mela ishal tzayel kan shum davon. Okay, what is that?
A tree.
This is a tree. Okay?
That's a tree.
Here are the roots. Okay? This is a tree. Okay? If I take... This is a branch, right? This is the ground. If I take a branch from here and I plant it here in order to have another tree, how does it call in Hebrew, in English?
Transplant.
How do you call it in Hebrew? It's beautiful. It's also in the Mishnayot already. Yeah. It's called... Now it works.
You write the word.
Hashkama?
Havracha. Havracha. That's a Lashon Mishnah. That's in the Mishnah. It's not a made-up word like in the 20th century. It's in the Mishnah already.
Like a graph.
Exactly. And it comes from the word... Berech. Like planting something that will basically continue the original tree. By the way, there are halachic nafkaminas. If, for example, this tree is already past the dinei orla, it's after the fourth year, this one is also already, yes, which is very interesting. So that's also, you need to know the times and all of that. But this is the idea of havracha. So everything around these letters, it's about continuation. And carrying someone else with you. So if that's true, as I said, I really do zero justice to all of that. But just because of time, I will just say that part of the idea of Leil HaSeder is not only just to remember the slavery and the redemption, but to understand the reason. When we understand the reason for something, we hopefully, will not repeat it. So when... I probably should erase this thing. People would have no idea what did I say. So the idea is how to be a Bechor, and this is also a lesson for Yosef, how to be a Bechor and to understand not only the privileges, but also the responsibilities. We are Bni Bechori Israel. We have tremendous responsibility to ourselves, but also to educate this crazy Michigan world that we live in. And we have tremendous amount of work to do. So I think that especially in Bezrat Hashem in 2 weeks, when we sit around Leil HaSeder, I think part of this idea of Yosef and the idea of brotherhood and the idea of unity and to learn how to, you know, the first mission that Yaakov sent Yosef was the Relech Re'e et Shlom Achecha. What does it mean, Shlom Achecha? To see if you can find peace within your brothers. Yosef didn't even have a chance. The minute they saw him from afar, they wanted to kill him. So he lost it. But that was the idea. And this is obviously something that we need to ask ourselves. Okay, that's for today.